Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Benjamin Solak. It is a beautiful Monday morning. Ben told me I need to keep his energy up for this podcast, so I'm just going to have to be even more animated and dramatic than I normally am, which
that
I know
the opening.
You guys really love hearing that. I've only had like a couple of people say that I'm really over the top. But you know what? My mother loves me anyways. So,
are you sure?
Yeah, you know what? I saw her yesterday.
She and I were talking last
she
night.
She did. Oh, wow. Okay, so you talked to her. Yeah, she. All right, I guess you talked to her more recently than I did.
Let's go. Time for a podcast.
All right. Today, though, I think it's going to be a passionate podcast, but it's not going to be nearly as energetic because, Ben, we got to talk about what is probably the biggest NFL news we've had in a long, long time. And that is Andrew Luck retiring. And this whole saga of how it happened. I mean, we're going to talk about the timeline in a second, but I want to get your take really quick on how we learned about it. Because a lot of people are kind of mad about that. Because I guess the whole thing was that Luck wanted to tell the team that the Colts had the game on Saturday night. They had their preseason game on Saturday night. Luck wanted to tell the team on Sunday. And then he wanted to have a press conference on Sunday. But somebody leaked it to Schefter, and right. Schefter broke the news. And from my point of view, I can't blame Schefter. A lot of people are saying like, oh, wow, what a crappy move for Schefter doing this. Look, man, Adam's got a job to do. And if he doesn't do it, then Rappaport just beats him to it. And so I couldn't be too hard on Schefter, but man, that was hard to watch last night. Like, sure, with him being on the sideline and everything like that. I mean, like, did the way that it came out, did that bug you at all? Because this is kind of like 2019 journalism where we are right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's certainly a sad thing. You know, I'll be the first to admit to you that, you know, when you have something that you feel is impactful and you feel is a significant news break, the itch to get it out and to be the first one to get it out is very strong. Yeah. Ask, you know, Christian Wilkins, 13th overall pick of the Philadelphia Eagles, which, you know, I reported at 13th overall pick and that did not come to pass.
Yeah.
And like, I've had, you know, so many people and like, you know, like they tell me that, like, you know, that had legs, it just wasn't there yet. You know, it wasn't like I got it too early. So like, you know, I understand that impetus for sure. I agree very much with what you said. It's Schefter's job, you know, part of the job, you know. Okay, Andrew Luck retiring, big deal. You know, it's also, you know, his job to report on when, like, people lose law, you know, like Antonio Brown loses a legal battle, you know,
right,
the helmet grievance. Like,
right,
that's not his business. You know, Taylor Lewan suspended with I think Lewan announced it himself. Player X is suspended for 4 games for PEDs for a domestic violence incident. It's not Schefter's business.
Yeah.
And really, like, you know, we don't, you know, as fans of the NFL, we really don't need to know that, you know, they're suspended for this, that, and the other thing. I'm really like, yeah, how much does it actually matter, you know? And so a lot of things that get shared and sourced immediately are not our business. But social media has made, you know, has changed human culture and history based off the premise of making other people's business our business. And so it's very difficult for me. I agree to blame Schefter, Rappaport, anybody who sources information from being, yeah, a product of a system that we all generally encourage 99 out of 100 times. The reality is that by the same token to which Schefter has come to fruition, and this question about sourcing and breaking other people's news has reared its ugly head, you have an opportunity as athletes, as public individuals, to use social media as well to announce things on your terms, kind of acknowledging that once it's out there, it'll spread like wildfire. You know, with Luck, it's very clear that while Luck was on the sideline of that game, he had spoken with significant people in the Colts organization about the,
right,
fact that he was going to retire.
Right.
So, you know, once you make that decision, you know, knowing that you live in a highly scrutinized league,
somebody's going to leak it.
Yeah. You have an opportunity to, you know, come up with a plan yourself and with your camp to tell your teammates first, tell the people you need to know first, and then, you know, just get a graphic, you know, Colts graphic teams will do it for you and put it on social. I'm not telling Luck what to do. He doesn't have to, you know, he wants to do a presser, then he wants to do a presser, you know, it's whatever. It's part of the trade-off, you know, like we live in an age of leaks. And so, you know, we kind of have to,
right.
Yeah. That's a double-edged sword. It's got good and it's got bad to it. So I certainly don't hold anything against Schefter.
No.
You know, And then, you know, the question is, whoever leaked it to him, you know, probably felt in that moment like the most valuable and impactful person in the world.
Yeah. It's just a weird balance. And kind of speaking of what you were saying there, turning it into Luck's situation, man, I don't know if, because Luck was really at the beginning part of when I really started getting into scouting seriously, his class. It was right around that time. And I was kind of just writing for my own places, but I was still really trying to get into it and get my foot in the door. And he still, to this day, is one of the best prospects I've ever scouted. The size, the arm talent, the intangibles, who he was as a dude on and off the field, how committed he was to his team and his craft. I mean, all of it was there. It was the talent of football, and it was the football character that was just married into one with Andrew Luck, which made him the no-brainer pick that he was. And so this is disheartening. And it's not disheartening nearly from the ways that you hear him say it, because this guy was not happy. And the quote from Andrew, I have it here in his press conference afterwards. He said, "I've been stuck in this process. I haven't been able to live the life I wanted to live, and it's taken the joy out of the game. The only way for me to move forward is to remove myself from football." And he said this is the hardest decision of his life. And a lot of his physical stuff, right? It has nothing to do with him not being successful. You know, he was the comeback player of the year last year. Had almost 40 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, and over 4,000 yards. He was the Andrew Luck that we knew him to be. But, dude, this injury list of him through six seasons, okay, we got torn cartilage in two ribs. He partially tore his abdomen. He had a lacerated kidney that had him like peeing blood for a little bit because it was so rough. Had at least one concussion, a torn labrum in 2017 on the throwing shoulder. And then obviously this calf and high ankle sprain now that he said he just could not get over. And he's, man, it's so hard to read. It was so hard to watch him talk with such emotion in that press conference afterwards, because although I thought he was stoic with a lot of the things that he was saying, when he talked about giving up this game, he's a 29-year-old kid. I know he's made a lot of money in his life playing football, and you could say that it's certainly been fulfilling for him. It's hard. This has been his identity for so long, and it hasn't been his identity in a bad way. It's been an identity in a way that he loves, that he has a passion for. And when you make that decision and say, "Wow, I'm not going back. Like, this is it. The thing that I've done for my entire life, I won't be doing again." That must have been hard, man. That's just so hard to watch him say that for these reasons.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. There's been many times in my young life where I've said, okay, well, this is a thing I'm going to stop doing. This is a thing I can't do anymore. This is a thing that I have to adjust how I do it. Those were all private decisions for me, made with
select, yeah,
who they impacted. I wasn't responsible for standing in front of a camera and justifying them, or standing in a stadium and receiving immediate judgment for them before I had a chance to speak, as is what happened to Luck. So to the extent to which we've, you know, we all made choices that, you know, we have to stop doing things, we have to move on from things, we have to give things up, you know, that's personally hard, and we do not have the public eye that Andrew Luck had to endure. Now, the love of the game question is critical. We are seemingly very fine. You know, everybody's okay with the idea that when NFL draft prospects are evaluated, they are evaluated heavily on their love of the game. It is an important question that is asked in a multitude of different ways. Now, it receives criticism. We mock it. But from a general perspective, you know, this is something that scouts think is important, and teams think is important, and the league and general managers think is important, and other players think is important. So they want to know, when drafting a player, when putting capital on them, that they love football, that they love the game. Why? You know, why do we think that that's important? Well, because we anecdotally, right, just subconsciously, connect those players who love the game of football to those players who are likely to work incredibly hard to get just a little bit better, to get that little edge, to improve, to stick in the NFL, right? That's the logical connection that we make. Right. That's why it's important that you love football, because it means you're going to work very hard. Now, we're skipping over a really big step there. Like, I really love, I don't know, I loved playing the drums. Like, I was playing the drums in high school. I didn't work
very hard. Oh, wow, same. Same.
I didn't work very hard at it. You know what I mean? Like, those two things are not equivalent. So we skip over a big step, but that's the connection that we make. So we make that connection. Everybody seems fine with that. And then when a player like Luck indicates that the love of the game has been lost. There's a vocal minority that disparages him and that says that you shouldn't. You know, this is soft. This is unacceptable. You know what I mean? This is a bad reason to leave the game. This is you shouldn't leave the sport like this. You know what I mean? Like this is, you know, I you know, people have said, like, I have, you know, family members who work at this and they would never just quit because, you know, it was too much for them and they lost love of the game and injury was too much for them, whatever. Okay, but, you know, this mattered to you. Love of the game indicating a player was going to be willing to work hard to be good mattered when you were evaluating him coming out. And so if the love of the game is lost, should you not then anticipate that that player will not work hard, that player will not play well, and he will be a detriment to himself and to his team? So there's a cognitive dissonance here.
Right.
Which is you know, not unsurprising among the circles of Twitter and generally in the world. But it's important to know, if you're going to tell me that Luck should not lose his love of the game because he's getting injured and he needs to rehab and accordingly should not retire, then you can't tell me that love of the game is important when you evaluate football prospects coming out of college.
Yep.
Those two things are mutually exclusive, at least to me, from my understanding of it. Because if success is at least partially conditional on love of the game, then when love of the game is lost, success is no longer guaranteed. So you should have wanted him to keep playing. He's not going to be successful, right? If you're a fan of the team or whatever. And so this is the big thing that's kind of come out in the last 24, 36 hours of this retirement being, you know, this value judgment of Luck's decision. Well, you got two ends of the stick here. And when you pick up one, you pick up the other. If you're going to tell me that Luck should still love the game and should keep playing, then you don't get to tell me that you have to evaluate a player's love for the game to draft them. And that's an important part of the things. Because those two things, they go hand in hand.
I just think that people think that for these sports athletes that, like, that's all they are, right? They're just whatever they are in their sport. And it just makes me so mad when we have idiots who, whether it was dumb Colts fans who, and if you're somebody out there who either booed or was mad at Andrew Luck for making this decision or thought somehow it was a personal shot at you as a fan, I don't care that I'm offending you. And there were a lot of major media members that came out and said this too, that were all over Luck saying that, you know, this was soft of him, like you said. Like, did he ever really love it? He's just given up. He's taken the easy way out. Look, man, this is not all these athletes have. You are a lot more than your job, probably. Whether you're a fan and you have a normal kind of job, or whether you're a media member and you have a broadcast job or whatever, you have an identity outside of that. Guess what? So do these players. And if Andrew Luck was not able to be himself and happy as a person while going through this, then he doesn't have to do it. Luck had a quote last year, I think it was last year, where he said, he talked about getting over the shoulder injury and how long that took him to get over. And he said, I remember being very sad. Like, he was almost in a depressive state. He really was. And he came out and said that. And I don't think he ever used the word depressed. But from what he said and the language that he used, you could kind of infer things like that. He said, I remember being very sad. It was a bad day. I played very poorly. He said, but I learned something last year, that if my worth as a human being was going to be tied into how I did and played football, the results and performance of a game, then I was going to have, and he even said, pardon my friends, a real shitty life. And I learned that from my shoulder saga throughout the year. And that's where Andrew Luck is, because right now he said that he hoped, after rehab and time after time and morning after morning, he hoped that one day he was going to wake up and the pain was going to be gone. And yet here he still is right now in pain every single day because of this game. And it's therefore taking him to physical pain, and it's turning it into emotional pain and mental pain. And at that point, the game of football might not be worth it. It really might not. And I say might because it's up to everybody to decide. But you know whose job it is not to decide? The people who aren't in the situation, the people who aren't going through it.
Right.
It's not up to them to decide. And for I get that we're in an opinion-based business. I understand that. And I get that you're paid off of clicks and you're paid off of what you think about this and that. But you can have an opinion on something and not be an awful human about it, judging somebody else going through a dark place in their life. What do you think? Andrew Luck didn't think this was hard? You think this was the easy way out for him? Come on. Like you were saying before, he'd be a detriment to his team, his community, his coaching staff, everything, if he continued to play this game and his heart wasn't in it. And after reading that laundry list of things that Andrew Luck has had to go through, and that was just on the field physically. We're not even talking about how it's been for him mentally. That is enough for you to say, okay, I respect you being able to make the decision as another human being because it is your decision to make. The people that are trying to make this about themselves, that when it is not about themselves, you're doing sports wrong. You're doing all of this wrong. You're doing broadcasting wrong. You're being a fan wrong. You need to check how you're taking on this situation. Because what Andrew Luck did, it's his decision to make. And especially if it comes from a mental health side of him being happy as a person, I respect the crap out of him for doing it. And actually, I think it was really brave.
Right. So, yeah, Luck retired. And there's a lot of reasons and logic and information behind that he shared. Independent of your opinion of that, there's the warranted question of, like, why am I sharing my opinion and should it be shared? And if it's not, like, conducive to a positive atmosphere for other people, educational and beneficial in some way, then it shouldn't be shared. A lot of the times, things happen in the league with players making choices, and it's my job to comment on this, and I don't, because I just don't have an opinion that's valuable to anybody, And so there's that judgmental question there in all circumstances.
The opinion that you have is that, like, Andrew Luck had a hell of a career and he was a hell of a football player. Like, if he wanted to hang it up, okay. That's the opinion.
I think the critical item here for Luck specifically is, if you are a Colts fan of the opinion that, your team is worse because Andrew Luck retired, you're not wrong. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they are. And if you're a Colts fan, that sucks.
Sure.
Like, it's very, easily understandable. It's legible that you would be upset that Andrew Luck retired because now your team is not going to be as good as they were. Everybody gets upset when things happen that will make the team for which they root worse. That being said, what value does it bring to you, to Andrew Luck, to Indianapolis Colts fandom, and to the team to be pissed at Andrew Luck and to be, like, vocally in the case of the stadium and the booing?
No, but here's the thing.
Immediately.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's okay. In the sense of, like, the thing about the stadium is there's very much so, like, a mob mentality there. It takes five people booing to get, 500 people booing. That's
sure.
A pretty common, psychological phenomenon. But it's the thing of, like, the thing is, like, if you are upset because you're a Colts fan that Andrew Luck retired, that's very fine.
You can be mad at the situation. Yeah.
But right, the thing about criticizing Luck is that, I don't think Luck retired to make the Colts worse.
Right.
I think Luck retired
because
Luck is a person independent of the Colts organization. And so, man, like, the Colts can't be worse. This blows. And, like, I'll always look back and wish that Andrew Luck have been able to stay in football and have been able to return to his former glory. And maybe, like, he could have. Like, maybe there legitimately was a shot that would happen. But it's not, it's Andrew Luck's choice.
Right.
And Luck chose right. not to. And as the Colts organization, now it's, okay, we step forward from this. And then what does that do for Andrew Luck as a person for you? It's not, again, an unreasonable or illegible reaction to be, like, pissed at Andrew Luck. But is the first thing you want to do express that to a guy who just retired because he's been beat up playing for your team for 6 years? Like, where it's a question of, like, what value does your opinion, what value does your reaction bring? Yeah. Is it what how you want to represent yourself? Because it's like, we all do stupid things when we're angry. Like, there's nothing to do about that,
Right, but we got to be better. Like, yeah. We got to be better. Fans, I'm certainly this way, when Florida's playing or something like that. Like, I can kind of fly off the handle and I can get mad at things like that. But, like, this situation, man, you've got to be able to separate it. You've got to be able to take your Colts hat off for a second and realize what's going on here. I mean Andrew Luck is not doing this despite. Yeah, no, I mean, you're right. You shouldn't have to, I guess, is a good point here. He's not doing this despite you. Andrew Luck is living his life. You have to be able to respect somebody else. People take being a fan so seriously. And passion is great. Passion is what fuels Hell, me and you being able to have the job that we have is due to the passion that fans have for their team. But you've got to be able to also separate things in such a manner as this, where this is a guy who's going through a lot, and he's not doing this against your team just because he played for your team. He's trying to figure out how to best live his own life. And that's the thing, man. People forget that, boy, oh, if this guy signs a contract with my team, that's it. That's his life. That's all. It's not. It's never been that. It's never going to be that. So for the people who are irrationally mad about him or irrationally jumping to conclusions that their opinion of it meant something, that him retiring for these reasons or retiring even at all was personal or had anything to do with you, I think you got to get a reality check, because that's just not what it is. That's not what sports are about. But Ben, you wrote a... I did want to talk about this a little bit before we got off the episode. You wrote a pretty quick article talking about, like, hey, this is the Andrew Luck situation, but now that we're looking at it, this is a situation. Jacoby Brissett's now the starting quarterback.
Yes, sir.
Colts got to kind of look at their outlook here. Do you think they're going to be picking a quarterback here in the 2020 NFL draft? I know it's a long way away, but would you think that they would be?
So a few things. Number one, you know, and I wrote this before Luck retired, you know, I wrote for the Indianapolis Colts winning Super Bowl 54 of the series I've been doing. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, listen, like, you know, Jacoby Brissett being good, because Jacoby Brissett is not awful, matters a lot, because he's going to start at least a decent number of games. At this time, we thought Luck was going to return at some point in the middle of the season. Brissett is passable. Now, you know, passable got the Colts 4 wins and 11 losses in 2017. So it's not like this is a team that, you know, went like 8-8, went 500 with Brissett under center. Now, that team is significantly better in terms of around the quarterback position as 2017 was. And so, yeah, I think you can hold and tread water with Brissett. The question is, to what extent do you want to? Brissett is a free agent coming up this year. For Brissett to be kind of good would be the worst thing in the world, because it could tempt you into staying with Brissett, right?
And that's QB purgatory. QB purgatory is the worst place to be in the NFL.
Right, so that's where we always... was what we always talk about, right? And then, you know, there are some people who want, you know, the Colts to trade for another young option, sort of a guy. Like, the Eagles media have floated Nate Sudfeld, right? Who Sudfeld's going to come back from injury. Could Sudfeld beat out Brissett? Sudfeld's also a free agent this year. It's not where you want to be. The Colts, you know, obviously, like, to the extent to which we were blindsided, we don't know. We don't know how long they have this information, how long they've been able to prepare for it. To me, I see two significant options, which is play with Brissett, knowing that you're going to let him walk, or, you know, like, if he's bad, just, you know, sign him again as a backup or whatever you want to do, and then subsequently draft that first overall pick early. Or number two, you make a trade for a veteran quarterback who you anticipate the team wants to move on from that veteran player, and they have other options. The number one name I'm looking at being Andy Dalton. I think that an Andy Dalton move to Indianapolis makes a lot of sense. And I think that the Cincinnati Bengals have a 0% chance of winning anything this year, and the Colts have, like, a decent-ish chance of winning things with Andy Dalton at center. I think the Cincinnati's got a new head coach and a new front office structure, so it makes sense that they would want to move on from the old quarterback. You drafted Ryan Finley in the middle rounds. I don't think anybody thinks Finley's going to be a starter, but you do have a young guy that you can kick the tires on and take a look at. Green is down, so you move Dalton, you get some capital back. You start moving some of your other big-time defensive pieces. You move a guy like a Geno Atkins, you get some pieces back. You start building up a war chest in the draft to really hit a hard reset. You had some of your young players playing in this year as well, in 2019.
Yeah.
You get Billy Price, Jonah Williams back from injury, and now all of a sudden, you know, you look like an up-and-coming young team under Zach Taylor in the McVay offense. So I think those are the two options. Right now for the Colts, the moment Luck retires, they're fifth in Super Bowl odds, tied for fifth in Super Bowl odds. Now they're more likely to be a top-five pick.
And so yeah,
a complete reversal in approach, and it's a question of – I'll put it to you this way. Chris Ballard, the general manager for the Colts, has a ton of fans in the media. I have always been a bit more bearish on what he has done than a lot of guys. I mean, Ballard can make a fan out of me if he handles this, because this is impossible to handle, right? So if the Colts can make this a one-year blip and go back to competing in 2020, that'll be just a masterstroke of handling an organization in total turmoil. And that's the big thing, is like the – you know, if we're going the football perspective here, the number one thing about this story is you just signed free agents in Justin Houston and Devin Funchess, who came to play and win with Andrew Luck.
Yeah,
now you've got to retain and keep these guys happy. That's going to be hard.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts that have to do with it. And like you said, they didn't win a lot of games a couple of years ago when he was out, but this team's a lot better now. And not only that, I think they've got a decent young core. So, you know, with that in mind, if you're going to hit a reset, you've got to kind of do it quick. Like, you've got to really know, because you're going to want to be getting a quarterback in there now to progress as the young guys around him progress. And so, really interesting. It's, I mean, Chris Ballard has been, like you said, I've been a big fan of his, but he's been billed as one of the best GMs in the league. This is one of the toughest things that a GM can go through. So, yeah, like you said, if he gets over it, then he will certainly have his name up there with the best. Andrew, if you're listening to this, I don't know why you would be, but maybe friend of the pod, Andrew Luck, I hope you live a wonderful life. Go search and find for what makes you happy, like you did when you were having so much fun playing football. For the fans and the media people that took this so personally, enjoy what you had in Luck. Be happy. Celebrate that it happened, that he was your quarterback. Celebrate the fact that you went straight from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck for a little bit. It will be fine. Allow Luck to go live his life. Respect his decision. Be happy for the times that you had with him as your quarterback. Realize that there is more to life than football. But not for Ben and I, because we're going to be back tomorrow talking about more football.
Wait, I have a challenge to issue.
Yes.
Andrew Luck, play me in Catan right now. Come on the podcast. Play
there me it Catan. Is. There it is. We need to get Andrew on the pod. Friend of the pod, Andrew Luck. Honestly, maybe that. Like, maybe that's. Maybe that's what he was.
He's got some time on his hands.
He does. He does. Like, as he's traveling the world, because he talked about doing traveling. Just pop in, Andrew. Tell us where you're at. You know, we'll get a report.
Welcome to the show.
Exactly. We'll get a little Andrew Luck reports. So tomorrow, Ben and I are going to dive into the two college football games. Well, I don't know if you watched the Villanova Colgate game. I guess we could talk about that if you would like. But I didn't watch it. So if you want to do it, then I'll have to go back and watch the tape. I'll have to go back and watch the tape before tomorrow's episode. But we're going to talk the Florida-Miami game, as well as everything that we saw in the Hawaii-Arizona game. Ooh, Cole McDonald. Some good, some bad. I can't wait to dive into it tomorrow.
Throwing four touchdowns and getting benched. Like, he's one of the most amazing players that's ever existed.
It's going to truly be a lit podcast tomorrow as we unpack everything that is Cole McDonald. Until then, you guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.